Today, we're going to be talking about the... Anybody ever known a fool? Unfortunately, we generally meet more fools in our life than we do wise men. And while I'm going to be sharing with you here in a little bit that we want to be very careful about ever labeling anybody a fool or accusing anyone of being a fool, at the same time, we do encounter many more of them than we do wise men. Ron Boring came up to me after the Sunday school last week and quoted to me Ecclesiastes 7:28, where Solomon says, of course, Solomon, pretty cynical in his old age, and he said he sees maybe one wise man out of 1,000. That means 0.1% of the people he meets are wise. He went on to say that he's never met a wise woman. So you can understand his cynicism. The fact of the matter is, we meet very few wise, but we meet lots of fools. And today I want to share with you primarily from the Proverbs. Somebody's going to say, that's a really chauvinistic remark to make. I didn't make it, I just quoted it. It's Solomon's remark, and you'll have to decide whether he was operating in the Holy Ghost or whether he was operating in his cynicism. Anyway, let's go to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to share today on the subject of the fool. The definition of the word fool, as it's used in the Bible in the original Hebrew word, is silly. And you'll say, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought last week you said that the fool, the simple person, was silly. And this is true. The difference in the fool and the simple is that the fool is silly in a perverse way. And the idea stems from the attitude of his heart. The simple person in the attitude of his heart is just gullible and deceivable. Rather, the fool is perverse in the attitude of his heart. The word fool means fat, stupid, wicked, especially impious. It means vile. And so the idea here of a fool is a person who is silly in his behavior, but that silliness comes from an attitude of the heart that is vile and corrupt and perverse. That's the definition from the Strong's. Wilson describes the fool as a person who is easily provoked, as opposed to the simple person who's led astray. And so you see, they both go the wrong direction, but the simple person is led astray, the fool goes astray. He's one who's easily provoked. He takes offense very easily. He's one who acts without counsel, and he's one whose will is too hard for his understanding. In other words, he's a person who has the attitude of, don't confuse me with the facts, my mind is already made up. He's a man or a woman who is opposed to the person who walks uprightly or straightforward. And so the fool is a person who is continually in opposition to that which is right. He's continually finding himself in opposition to that which is wisdom. Now we're going to go into the Proverbs, and I've got a lot of scriptures to give you today, and so we'll only turn to a few of the more important ones. We'll not have time to turn to each one. If you have a pencil and a piece of paper, you just jot these down as I give them to you, because if you try to follow along in your Bible, you'll get lost about the fourth or fifth one. These are the qualities of a fool, and this is the description of his characteristic nature. You say, how do I know if I'm a fool, according to the Word of God? And how do I know if this individual I'm dealing with or I'm having difficulty with, how do I know if that person is a fool, according to the Word of God? Here is how you identify that individual, whether it's you or whether it's someone else that needs to be so identified. And oftentimes I think we want this information so that we can label other people, when the primary purpose for having this information is to be sure that we judge ourselves. The scripture says that we're to judge ourselves so that we not be judged with the rest of the world. So as we get this information, the primary purpose for our giving this information is so that we may judge ourselves and cleanse ourselves of any kind of characteristics that are similar to that of a fool. And so keep that in mind as we go through it. Proverbs 1 and 7 says this: fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so one of the primary characteristics of a person who is a fool is a person who despises. He doesn't just reject. He gets angry when he gets wisdom. And he's not necessarily angry in the presence of wisdom, but when that wisdom or instruction is directed to him personally, and he comes under conviction for it, he despises it rather than to receive it. Proverbs 1:22 says, fools hate knowledge. They hate knowledge. They hate the truth. Now, I'm not talking about they hate the knowledge of things natural, because fools generally are very intellectual, and they love head knowledge, but they hate the truth. They hate the Word of God because the Word of God infringes upon their so-called right to do anything they want to do to please themselves. And the Word of God, when the Word of God comes upon us, the Word of God requires change. I've never been able to sit under the Word of God and go on and do just as I always have done. The Word of God always requires alterations. A fool doesn't want to make any alterations. He doesn't want to make any changes, so he hates knowledge because it exposes the things that are wrong in his life. Proverbs 15 and 5 says that a fool despiseth his father's instruction. And we might amplify that by saying a fool despises the instruction of any of his authorities. Not only that of his father, but that of whoever it may be. A wife will despise the instruction of her husband if she's a fool. A church member will despise the instruction of his pastor if he's a fool. And so a fool despises his father's or his authority's instruction. And the word despise here is a very strong word. It's not a matter of dislike or prefer that it didn't happen. To despise is kin to hate. And so it's a very strong word here and a very strong idea. All right? Proverbs 17 and 16 says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? Now, what that tells us about a fool is he has no heart for wisdom. He has no desire for it. As a matter of fact, he hates it. Proverbs 12 and 15 says, the way of a fool, and this one is so characteristic of a fool that you want to take special note of it. Proverbs 12 and 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And here's how you can determine a person who may be a fool or examine your own attitudes about things. The way of a fool is always right in his own eyes. In other words, he is always right. His own way is always the right way. And that's where we get the idea, don't confuse me with facts. My mind is already made up. And he's a person who cannot be entreated. You may not entreat him because he's not open to entreating. Now, this is opposed to a person who may be entreated and who is willing to listen to your ideas and so on, and he may still decide not to receive what you're saying, but at least he's entreatable. Do you understand the difference? A fool is not entreatable because his own way is always right. You will not find a person who's in this condition ever changing his mind. He can't listen to his wife because his wife never has anything advisable to say or anything worthwhile to say. He can never take any kind of wisdom from his children. He can't take any kind of wisdom from his staff or from his people and so on. His way is always right. That person is a fool. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 26 and 11. Have you ever met anybody like that? I think we could all say we've met lots of people like that. Proverbs 26 and 11 says that as a dog returneth to his vomit, crude language but descriptive, so a fool returneth to his folly. One of the characteristics of a fool is that he never learns. You see, he hates knowledge, he despises instruction, and so what will a man do who won't learn? He'll go back and do the same dumb thing over and over and over and over again. And just like a dog returns, and the idea here is, you know, when you know what it does, how it turns your stomach. When you see a dog, he'll throw up, and then he'll go and eat it. And this is how it is with a fool. I mean, it's just that repulsive. Thank you. Good word. It's just that repulsive to watch a fool in his living, because that's what he does. What he does, he never learns. He doesn't learn from his experience. He doesn't learn from instruction. You will find him going back and doing the same thing over and over again. A fool returneth to his folly. He does not learn and change his ways. He just goes back and does it again. And a fool would be a person who stuck his hand in a snake's den and got bit, and you'd see him the next day put his hand back in the snake's den again. Proverbs 14 and 16 says that the fool rageth and is confident. The fool rageth and is confident. Now, we'll see a little later on that one of the characteristics of a fool is he's quickly angry, and his temper is quickly ignited. But even in the midst of his rage, he thinks he's right. The fool's always right in his own eyes. Now, the wise man realizes that when he gets angry, he's in a dangerous place. Because when a person is angry, he is not making wise judgments. Your judgment is impaired when you're mad. And when you're operating in anger, whether it's towards your children or whether it's them towards you, you're just not thinking clearly. And a wise man understands that. But a fool rageth, but retains his confidence and feels that I'm right. And the more he confesses his rightness, the angrier he gets because of that which is infringing upon that or that which is intimidating his rightness. Even when he knows he's wrong, and even when he knows that what he's going to do is going to harm him, he still is confident. And a fool is a person that will go to his destruction confessing his rightness, knowing deep down in his heart that what he's doing is destroying himself. That's the characteristic of a fool. He is so set in his ways and so established in his rightness that he will hurt himself rather than admit that he's wrong. Proverbs 13 and 19 says, it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. For a fool, it is the last thing in his mind to stop doing evil, to depart from it. To him, it is abomination. Not to the wise man, it's an abomination to do evil. But to a fool, it's an abomination to stop. It has such a control over it that he'll persist in it, even when he knows that it's wrong. Proverbs 14 and 9 tells us that fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. Now, oftentimes we will see people who are very righteous doing as far as their outward, external appearance and so on. But they will make a mock at sin like anger. We tend to classify sin as obscenity, licentiousness, fornication, those kinds of action sins. But you know, Jesus said that the greater sin was the one that was in the heart that caused the person to do the action. And oftentimes fools will be very righteous against the sins of action, but will be right in the midst and their lives filled with sins of attitude. And they will maintain and make a mock of sins like unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, strife, and all those kinds of attitudinal problems, while they live very clean and holy externally. Jesus called those people whited sepulchres, because on the outside, it's nice and whitewashed and looks good, but inside is full of dead men's decaying bodies. And so this is one of the characteristics of a fool, that he or she will not be aware of what real sin is and mock at it. Proverbs 14 and 1 says this one is very significant, and Frankly, I'd like to change it just a little bit. I'm going to do it in just a moment, but I want you to know that I'm adding something to it in just a moment. This is what the scripture says. The foolish plucketh it, parentheses, her house, down with her hands. The foolish person is constantly pulling things down. Oftentimes, the fool thinks it's his or her mission in life to pluck down and feels called and anointed by God to be the one to pull things down. And it is not easy to deal with such a person because they are absolutely convinced and absolutely committed, and they are very zealous in doing this, feeling that that's their mission, that's their calling, and that's what God wants them to do. I'm talking about fools who are part of particularly in churches and so on. And they are destroying elements in the church and do not see it as destruction. They see it as correction.
Purging.
Yes, good word. Yeah, good word. They're God's instrument. Yeah, they're the check. They keep things under control. God's instrument, see. Basically, what they're saying is God's not big enough, so therefore I have to help him out, and I have to be his Holy Spirit in this situation. It's a very dangerous place to be, and it's very subtle. Now, as we go on, we're going to find out that one of the characteristic qualities of a fool is identifiable with his mouth. And I'm going to take this verse, and just after we finish, you'll see why I have done so. I'm going to take this verse where it says, the foolish plucketh it, or plucketh her house down with her hands. And then the foolish also tears it down with her mouth. And the mouth is the more aggressive and more effective instrument of destruction in the hand of the fool. All right? A foolish woman who does not understand what she's doing in trying to make correction in her home and pull her house down. And many women are guilty of this, even though they may not be fools themselves. They are operating in foolishness when they try to make correction in their homes and families. And what they are doing without knowing it is they're pulling it down with their hands. And it's just like grabbing their family and just jerking it down or using their mouth and destroying inside the family and don't have any understanding what they're doing. And so you'll find a woman on her knees at 9 o'clock in the morning, praying for her husband and praying for her family and, oh, God, do this and, oh, God, do that. And by noon, she's on the telephone with somebody else tearing her husband down, see, and pulling her family down. Now, that's a person who is operating, whether she is a fool or not, you don't judge on the basis of one characteristic, but she is operating in a fool's arena, and she's operating foolishly. So praying on the one hand, and then on the other one, pulling her house down and not realizing that she's doing it. Proverbs 14 and 3, and here's where we really begin to get some readily identifiable characteristics. 14 and 3 says, in the mouth of the foolish is the rod of pride. Now, in the mouth of the wise, you would expect to have what rod? Well, you'd have the rod of wisdom. You'd have the rod of iron that Jesus is going to use to judge the earth. You'd have the word of God in the mouth of the wise. But in the mouth of the fool will be a rod of pride. And the idea there is, as you listen to the fool talk, you will hear he has an I, myself, me, myself complex. And he is continually referring to himself. He's continually bringing attention to himself, positive attention to himself. He's continually diverting any kind of negative attention off of himself onto somebody else. He's a person who pulls down someone else in order to elevate himself. Have you ever known people like that? Constantly criticizing the other one in order to lift me, myself, and I up. In there, when you listen to him talk, you just hear pride. And if you're sensitive to the things of the Spirit, you can just sense it. It just reeks as he speaks. Proverbs 18 and 6 says that a fool's lips enter into contention. Now, what is another word for contention?
Strife.
His pride causes him to speak words that are strife-producing and will cause strife to rise up. He spews forth from his mouth almost continually striving. If it's not against one person, it's against someone else. And in Proverbs 13:10, we're told, only by pride cometh contention. This is why the lips of the fool enter into contention, because in his mouth is the rod of pride. Whenever you find contention, you will always find pride, because contention only comes from pride. If there's contention between two people, it is because there's pride in one or both of them. If there's strife in a family, it's because there's pride in that family in one or more people. If there's strife in a church or in a choir or in a staff or in an organization, it's because there's pride somewhere in there. Because only by pride comes contention. Contention is the symptom. Pride is the root. And in the mouth of the fool is a rod of pride. Consequently, when he opens his mouth, out comes contention and strife. And you will find a fool, it will be readily identified, because every time you find strife, when you get in there and check it out, you will always get that person's name. And you'll find it's that person and several others. And then you get over here and you encounter this, you go to put this fire out, and you'll find it's that same person and three different people. And then there's another fire over here, and you go to put this one out, and you'll find it's that same person that's been in. In other words, there'll be a common name. And when you find the common name, you know you've got the one who is either a fool or who is operating foolishly. Are you listening? Okay. All right, now Proverbs 12:16 tells us that a fool's wrath is presently known. A fool's wrath is presently known. The description there is of a person who is quick-tempered. The anger of a fool is quickly known, quickly revealed. And a fool is a person who is very touchy and who gets angry very fast. Proverbs 27:3 says, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty. You ever picked up a big rock or a bag of sand? It's heavy. But a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. So a fool who is angry, and fools are angry, is heavier. In other words, you can't carry it. If you're trying to carry a person who's a fool, it'll kill you. You cannot carry it. It's too heavy. Any more than you can carry a bag of sand and a stone at the same time. As Solomon said, the fool's wrath is heavier than them both. And so you either have to put them down or it'll kill you. Do you understand the idea here? Proverbs 10:18 says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Now, here are two characteristics here that are complementary. First of all, a fool is a person that uttereth a slander. But more than that being characteristic of a fool, Solomon doesn't say fools utter slanders. He says he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Do you understand the difference? There's a major difference between saying fools utter slanders and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. For what Solomon is saying is, if a person is in that category where he is a slanderer, that makes him a fool. Now, something else about this slandering fool is that he hides his hatred with lying lips. Turn to that scripture, 10:18, Proverbs 10:18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Now, this is a description of a fool. He is a slanderer. And he hides his hatred of the person he's slandering with lying lips. How does he do that? How does he? Give me an example of how that works.
Huh? One thing to their face, something else.
All right. Okay. He pretends one thing to the face of the person, but talks about him behind his back. All right. There's another facet. Carl?
Well, a conversation can start off with purportedly having their interest at heart. In other words, I'm interested in this person, and all of a sudden they're butchering them.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That is even the more common way. It's the fool is very deceiving and very deceptive, because he opens his conversation with you with something like, you know, so-and-so, she dresses so nice. When I see her, she always has the nicest clothes on. But you ever notice how fat she is? All her clothes are designed to cover her fat. Now, that's an example of the kind of thing, see? Our pastor is the best teacher I've ever heard, but he's so stubborn and stiff-necked. He always wants his own way. Now, see what's... This is what's happening. Here are lying lips, and here's a compliment in order to cover the slander that is coming. And that's the quality of a fool. The fool slanders, but he uses lying lips to cover his hatred. And this is why it is difficult oftentimes for us to identify the fool and to identify the slander, because he takes you off guard. And he says something about somebody that you love that is complimentary. And you think, oh, well, he loves him too. And then he hits you with a slammer. But the slammer comes so slippery that you don't even realize it's a slam. And you don't really, and the ones I'm giving you are pretty direct, you know. But generally it comes in a way you don't even know that you have listened to a slander until later on you wonder, why is it that I'm feeling so badly towards this person? Why is it that I can't stand to be around so-and-so? And then you get to think, ah, she was talking to me about... Whoa, planted those seeds in there, and I didn't even know what was going on. Very subtle, very subtle. Scorner is not nearly as subtle as this. Someone had their hand up over here, John.
I kind of have a question in a way. In dealing with a fool, I try to, when they tell you what to do, to kind of listen to it and pray about it and not sink into them, kind of be a peacemaker, and that doesn't work. And then I try confrontation with them and say, I don't want you to talk like that about this person because it affects my attitude. And it's like that doesn't work either. And it's like to the point I avoid people that do that. And I don't know if that's the right attitude.
Let's wait till we get over to how to deal with a fool, and we'll take up your question there. We're going to get that before we finish. We're looking at how to identify them first. Then we'll figure out how we're going to deal with them, okay? All right? The next scripture we're going to look at is Proverbs 20 and verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Fools are meddlers, busybodies, and they refuse to cease from strife. Proverbs 10:23 says, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. You know what that means? That for a fool, it is his enjoyment to make trouble, to do mischief. It's like a sport for him. He enjoys it. Many people, it's like a game. How many people have you heard say, I just love to have a good argument? I love to debate. Yes. Or I'm just the devil's advocate on this. That person in a dangerous spot, see? Because he's a troublemaker. And it's fun for him to create anger on the part of other people. You know folks like that. They will create an argument just to make you mad. It is fun for them. That's the nature of a fool. Proverbs 10 and 8 says this about a fool. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Now the word prating has to do with the lips and the mouth. And this is where we get into the area that we understand that a fool is basically identified by his mouth. And that takes us to Proverbs 29 and 11. And this one is so clear and so explicit and so expressive. A fool uttereth all his mind. A fool uttereth all his mind. Now what that means is a fool cannot keep his mouth shut. A fool is a person who, whatever he thinks, he says. A fool is a person who cannot just think without expressing what it is he's thinking. He's a person that we would say engages his mouth before his brain's in gear. Yes. And you hear his mouth going, his engine's running, but the brain's not in gear yet. He utters everything he thinks. Now, I can tell you, if I uttered everything I thought, you wouldn't think about me what you think. Because I get some real crazy thoughts. How about you? Don't you ever get some real unusual thoughts? You don't want to say everything you think. I mean, it's just dumb to do it. One of the things we found out about a fool was the word fool means stupid. And one of the stupid things that he or she does is speaks all that's on her mind. And you'll hear people say, well, I just speak my mind. Well, that's appropriate as long as you've thought it through. But when you start speaking all your mind, that's dumb.
Yes.
That's dumb. Now, there are a lot of things that don't need to get said.
Amen.
Things you think. Even things that are true. Like, whew, that person really stinks. She needs a shower. You don't need to say that. Let me do you. You know. Or that person is, that person must be 50 pound overweight. Or 30 pound underweight. You know, either way. But what good is that to say? The Word of God says you speak nothing, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, say that which is good to edifying, ministers grace to the hearer. If you can't say something good, don't say it at all. But a fool is always prating with his mouth. His mouth is always going, he speaks everything that's going through his mind. The devil has a hold of his tongue, and he just uses it to cut and slice and rip and tear. Fools are troublemakers with their mouths. Proverbs 15:2 says, the mouth of the fool poureth out foolishness. You want to identify a fool the same way you identify anybody else, you listen to his mouth. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks, of the mouth speaketh. Solomon said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you listen long enough, you get the fruit of the heart coming out the mouth, the fruit of the lips, and it will identify. The mouth of the fool pours out foolishness. Proverbs 15:14 says, the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Love it. Consume it. Proverbs 17:7 says, excellent speech becometh not a fool. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. A fool has no desire for excellent speech. And Proverbs 26:6 says that he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The idea there is that a fool is not trustworthy. And you do not send a message by a fool. You might as well cut your feet off if you're going to send a message by a fool, because he's not trustworthy. What will happen? A, he will either not arrive with a message, or B, when he does arrive with the message, it'll be the wrong one. And it'll be twisted. So a fool is not trustworthy. And you do not, this is why it is so important, if you have any kind of authority at all, whether it's in your family or in a church or in a ministry or in a business or whatever, you don't commit something to a fool. Because he's not trustworthy. He'll tear down what you give him, and he will use his mouth to destroy you, and you just don't commit things to fools. Oftentimes in churches, people don't understand, because oftentimes the fool appears to be the most talented. And we'll say that again. The fool appears to be the most talented. And oftentimes that's what makes them fools, because they are so talented, they're all caught up in themselves, filled with pride. And when you look at them, this is why we have in our churches a lot of fools sitting on deacon boards. Because when the congregation elects the deacons, they elect the most talented men. Not necessarily the most spiritual, but the most talented. And so you get these talented fools sitting on deacon boards, and they just sit there week after week and month after month and kill a pastor. And so the church goes through every 2 years, you got a new pastor. That's about all you can bear, you know, company of fools. You just can't bear that much longer than that. And this is what's happening in so many of our churches. And because the Word of God has not been taught and it hasn't been declared, and people do not understand that you don't look upon the outside like men do, you want to look on the inside like God does. You make your choices on that basis. Okay? Now, all that we have said here about identifying a fool, I want to give you from Matthew 5 a word of caution. I don't think I've ever called a person a fool. I don't know if I ever will. And it's easy to say it, but it's not easy to bear the consequences. In the Sermon on the Mount, and so this is not a word that you want to use lightly. And so I will teach you what this, you know, how to make your own judgments here. You make your own judgments, but you want to be very careful about labeling a person a fool. Matthew 5 and verse 22, Jesus said, Sermon on the Mount, I say unto you, Let's start at verse 21 because it gives us the context. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca, or the word Raca means empty or worthless, call a person that, worthless, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, what's he saying here? He is using this to amplify the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And he says, when you say about a person, that when you're angry with a person, you haven't killed him, but you're angry with him without cause, that is just like killing him. But there are two things even worse than that. One is calling him empty and worthless, because that makes you not only danger of the judgment, but of the council. And the second thing is calling a person a fool. If you do that, you're in danger of hellfire. So it is the more dangerous of the three things that you can do. And the first one is like unto killing somebody. This is more dangerous than doing that. So you don't run around labeling people fools. All right? You don't label them to others, and you be very careful about labeling them to yourself. Okay. All right, let's go back to the Proverbs once again with that word of caution. I think, however, though, let me say this while we're going back to the Proverbs. Because of that, most people are unwilling to identify the fool, and this is why the fool gets away with so much. Because we don't want to be. Well, you're judging me. What did Jesus say when they said to him, you're judging me? What did he say?
He says, I don't judge the words that I speak.
He said, no, I didn't judge you. But the words I speak, which are the words of God, they judge you. And so that's why it's important we do this study. All right, let's move on. Let's see if we can't finish it up this morning. We've got 7 minutes. What's the reward to the fool? What can the fool expect? What is his expectation? Proverbs 11:29 says that he will be the servant to the wise. He'll not rule, he'll serve. Proverbs 26:1 says, honor is not seemly for a fool, just like snow in summer and rain in harvest is not normal. Honor is not normal for a fool. And so a fool will not be held in esteem by his fellow men. Proverbs 10:21 says that fools die for want of wisdom. Because of their lack of wisdom, they self-destruct. Proverbs 18:7 says, the fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. His mouth will cause him to be ensnared. 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his destruction. That's the one we just read, I'm sorry. 13:20 says, the companion of fools will be destroyed. Now, how does that speak to what a fool can expect? What a fool can expect is only other fools as companions. Because once you have played the game with a fool and you have participated in his reward or his punishment, then you withdraw yourself. The companion of fools is going to be destroyed. And so anyone who maintains companionship with a fool has got to be also a fool. A wise man won't hang around. You get bit one time and you let go. You just don't hold on, right? And so a fool is without companions other than those who are like him. And they simply confirm him in his foolishness. Proverbs 14:7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man. And so that ties in with what we've just been saying. The wise will not maintain company with fools. Now, how do you deal with a fool? Proverbs 19:29 says that stripes are for the back of fools. The fool is, what he's supposed to get is stripes. You know what that means? A beating. Proverbs 26:3 says, a rod is for the fool's back. A whip for the horse, bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Proverbs 27:22 says this, and this is kind of contradictory, but if you listen to it, it will explain something. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle. You know what a mortar and pestle is? Is something in which you grind something to powder. Proverbs says that if you take a fool and put him in a pestle, in a mortar and pestle, and grind him to powder, yet, listen, will not his foolishness depart from him, Joan. So what he deserves is a beating with a rod. But even if you did that, and even if you ground him to powder, his foolishness would not depart from him. Why? Because he's confirmed in his foolishness. Now, I want to make one precautionary statement here for those of you who are parents, and you're thinking, I think I got a child like this. I see a lot of foolishness in my child. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. All right? Now, when you're dealing with a child, what do? You give them the rod. And the promise is that, first of all, foolishness is in the heart of a child. You don't be surprised when you see your child doing these foolish things, because it's bound up in there. He's part of Adam's race. He's inherited it from Adam, and you're going to observe it. How do you deal with it? You deal with it with a rod. Oh, no, I don't believe in spanking. Well, then you're going to raise a fool. You're going to raise a fool because foolishness is already bound in there, and there's only one thing that's going to drive it out of it. Now, you're very fortunate if you don't raise a fool without the rod. And the promise, secondly, for a parent is that the rod of correction will drive this foolishness out so that your child doesn't grow confirmed in that foolishness, but rather grows up in wisdom, okay? So you can't, what do we do in the church when we find a fool? You don't beat him. I mean, you can't take a 50-year-old man and beat him with a rod. And good, because even if you could, it wouldn't do any good. All you do is just create major problems. So it is of no benefit. But I want you to understand, if you have that condition in a child, that you have another promise in 22:15. You understand the difference there that we're looking at? All right. Proverbs 29:9 says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there's no rest. Now, here's a partial answer for your question, John. How do you deal with a foolish person? You don't. If you contend with him, there's no rest. There's no rest. There's constant strife. Because the fool will not be corrected. If he's correctable, he's not a fool. He's a wise person engaging in some foolishness. Do you understand the difference? So if he's a wise person engaging in some foolishness, you give him some instruction and some correction and some reproof, and what does he do? He loves you. He responds to that, and you don't have a fool. But if you have tried to do that, and you have identified that person as a fool, then there's no need for you to continue to try, because all it will stir up is more unrest. So there's got to be another solution. And it's not beating, and it's not continued instruction or continued working with. You can't contend with a foolish man. Mark that down, 29:9. You cannot contend with a foolish man, because whether he remains angry or whether he laughs at you, laughs with you and say, ha ha, yeah, I was really wrong with that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Whether he stays angry or whether he laughs, doesn't make any difference. If he's a fool, there's still going to be no rest. Okay? No matter what he says. Proverbs 17:10 says, a reproof entereth into a wise man more than 100 stripes into a fool. You can beat a fool with 100 licks, and you'll get nothing. Proverbs 23:9 says, speak not in the ears of a fool. It's useless. You don't even talk to him. 26:4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be also like him. Now, there's only one way to handle a fool, and that is avoid it. There isn't any other answer. Now, I don't see a way of correction other than prayer. Because it takes the power of God. You need a miracle.